For June the 10th, 2016, we talk about the Final Fantasy XII Zodiac Age announcement, Dangerous Golf, and we ask you for your E3 headline predictions. Welcome to Level 153. My name is Cole Ross.
I'm Dennis Furia.
I'm David Meismith.
And I'm Ben Merkel.
And you're listening to The Level. It's a podcast for people who love video games. Yeah, I don't know if I have any banter. Hey, Dennis, I met your kid.
Yeah, you said he gave you an 8 out of 10, and he's compiling a list of ways you could improve.
Yeah, rent Cole, don't buy it.
That's basically what an uncle is, right? It's like a friend that you rent.
it's part-time dad. Well, I guess that's a thing. Like, that's just a dad who's gone through a divorce. Anyway.
Oh. Well,
I'm not taking a shot. Like, divorce is a fact of life.
I'm just saying, like, gotta make it dark.
I suppose. Oh man, it was good. Went over, had Indian food with you and your family, and just kind of chilled out. It was fun.
It's amazing how much fun it is when we get together, like in real life, and it's amazing how infrequently it happens.
Oh yeah, I mean, given the fact that we live like 10 minutes away from each other, no, I'm just a shut-in is the thing.
Oh no, it the blame rests equally between all parties on this one.
Phone rings both
even
ways.
Me. I see you guys every time I'm in Cincinnati.
You abandoned us. Don't even talk.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You know, please. Going out and getting a job.
I don't know. I mean, most of us haven't needed to.
Well, it hasn't really worked out that well for all of us here in Cincinnati.
Yeah.
Not so far.
It's kind of. Oh, man. So there may have been a break there because of an email that came in, and we'll see. But yeah, no, it's just a usual. It's the calm before the storm with E3 and stuff.
It's hard to describe it as calm.
Well, I suppose
it's the leak before the storm. Like three or four games have been leaked already.
It's the trickle. Yeah. Well, yes. Good.
Yeah. Isn't that like every E3 though?
Those games, it has to be intentional, right? Like, I'm not gonna go tinfoil hat here, but like all these little leaks that we're getting, they have to be like, okay, we know it's going to be incredibly hard to rise above the din when it's the actual event, so like let's leak this so we can get some like pre-hype going on.
No, don't write articles about us.
Wink.
See, this is just a little bit getting to what would be a more silly answer for this week's multiplayer, but I like the idea of I just imagine Sony's like, you know, arranging to go early in the week and like their E3 announcement just being, you know, The Last Guardian releases today, just to ensure that no one actually pays attention to is too busy playing to pay attention to anyone else's releases.
That would be a mic drop.
Yep. I mean, that basically would be collusion, right?
Yeah, you know. It's only collusion if you get caught, don't have good lawyers.
I suppose. Well, yeah, let's, I mean, it sounds like we're champing at the bit to actually talk about some stuff here. So why don't we go ahead and do it? We've got the usual kind of show for you. We've got the brief, the multiplayer, and the grind, and we're going to get started with
The brief,
where we talk about things that are happening in the world of video games. Ben, you loaded the channel with stuff.
I snowed in some news events. Just let loose.
Just a shitload.
No, I think this is probably pretty well known, but my weekly routine is to go through Polygon to find out the news stories of the last week. But there happened to be a lot of interesting ones this week, so I decided to I didn't want to split between all of them. They're all pretty short too, so I thought I could probably do a rapid fire. So let's do it. All right. A brief number one. Rocket League is adding new hats and toppers to their cars. In the past couple months, you could get multiple of the same hat, and nobody really knew why. It seemed pretty pointless. Mm-hmm. But apparently they're going to add on a system where you can trade them 5-1 for the next higher up tier hat. And there's supposed to be more rare for some reason. None of this matters if you don't play Rocket League. It's very insular.
It has to be a feint toward like more Team Fortress 2, like microeconomy stuff, right?
I guess so, but I don't think you can buy any of the hats or anything like that. They're just kind of like a fun add-on, but
I demand a Dr. Seuss style hat stacking ability. I want hats on top of hats.
That would be
which I believe
cool.
They had in Team Fortress.
Ooh. All right, did maybe they, that's the end game. I don't know.
Can you define a topper versus a hat?
In addition to like hats, which can be kind of generic, it could be like a cake or it could be like a shuriken sticking out of the car. There's also antennas that are custom as well. I think hats and toppers are used interchangeably, and then antennas, I guess, is a different category, but that's also that. One of the ideas is if you get enough of the collectibles, you can kind of cobble together different like themed cars. And so so like you can get like a top hat with a money antenna and money wheels, and then have cash for your boost that like
shoots out. Yeah, I was gonna say, I think I'd want money exhaust. That would be badass.
And that's customizable as well. But I think only the hats are the ones that are going to be able to trade in 5-1. I don't think they're doing anything else for the antennas or for the boosts. Hmm. But anyway.
Can you get a truck jock strap for your truck nuts?
I don't know. I'll keep two eyes out for that one.
If you equip that, it puts you on a special server that is only people with truck nuts equipped.
Well, no, it's people with truck nuts and then people with truck nuts and jock straps. So it's cretins with modesty.
It's like a shirts for skins sort of thing where you only take the footage.
Oh, man. We call it rocket balls.
All right, I'm going to sashay away from
Rocket
that
Balls
story.
Is actually the name of the Rocket League Rule 34.
Oh, man. What else you got, Ben?
All right, next story, one of the leaks. Apparently Watch Dogs 2 is coming out. They hinted at that, but they posted the exact date is 11/15/2016. Whatever. I really don't care about the game that much, so but it's the it's whatever. So if you care about it,
before it's delayed, of course.
Wait, so did you do a news item simply to say I don't care about this news item?
Well, some people might be interested in it.
How else would we know how cool you are?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
You played,
I'm way too cool for this game.
You played the most Watch Dogs out of any of us, though.
That's probably true.
Yeah.
You watched all the dogs.
Yes. I saw a lot of dogs in my time. That game being one of them, but yeah, whatever. All right, I'm stepping away from that one. All right, there's another news story. There's a game called Allison Road that they released like a 13-minute trailer for last year. I don't know if we covered this or not. It's kind of akin to PT. I remember watching the video probably maybe half a year to a year ago. So I remember watching it and thought it looked really cool. Graphics are really awesome. Looks similar to PT in a sense because you're just walking around an empty house. Everything looks nice, and then there's kind of creepy things that happen, and eventually something runs at you that looks really creepy, so, you know. But anyway, the story is that it got canceled today. So they tweeted that it got canceled. They haven't tweeted a release yet, though, so they'll probably do that in the coming days. So that's a bummer.
Yeah, that's a shame. That was so it was Kickstarter, a publisher stepped in. At the very least, they canceled the Kickstarter when a publisher stepped in, so this is not another high-profile, Kickstarter that just kind of fizzles out.
Yeah
doing that for like an E3 announcement seems kind of passive aggressive though.
Guess what, you're not going to get to play again.
Yeah, I know, that's a bummer, man. Now there's no good like survival horror games in the chamber.
Yeah,
so, I don't know.
I mean, Kojima's still going to be doing something, so
that's true. Did you guys see the picture that was released of the main character of his next game? It's like
is that like the robot head?
Yeah, like Robot Knight almost.
Yes, I did see that, but it didn't stick out as being like very distinctive to me.
Yeah. I don't know. I like the idea of a Robot Knight, but that's about it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I just saw semi-related a brief blurb. Apparently it's been 10 years this year, presumably this E3, since Half-Life 3 was announced.
Oh.
They announced it?
Or whatever they did.
It was like it's been 10 years either since Half-Life 2 Episode 1 came out, and they said, oh yeah, and there's going to be Half-Life 2 Episode 2 and Episode 3. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Was it ambiguous like that, where it could have been Half-Life 2 Episode 3 or Half-Life 3? Or
well, I think they actually, what they said is Episode 1 through 3 is Half-Life 3, didn't they more or less say that?
But that was like a little bit later, I think, like around the time like Half-Life 2 episode 2 came out.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, just because it took so long for that. I don't know. That's it's discouraging.
Yeah.
Ben, hit me with one more.
Last one is The Witness is getting a demake. Is that the term for it?
I believe so, yes.
Where you make like a retro version of a game, or like a downgraded version of the game in a sense.
Yes.
So somebody's making an NES version of The Witness, and it's called The Wit.NES, which is a cute name. They haven't really released much for it. I haven't seen any videos or anything. They just have a picture of the island that's done in 8-bit, and it looks kind of interesting. I mean, it looks pretty one-to-one with what the map is in a sense, albeit it's 8-bit graphics. So that might be a thing. So that sounds kind of cool.
Yeah. Who's making it? Is this the team, or is it an outside?
I think it's a dude. I think it's just a dude. And it has a lofty goal of putting 32 puzzles in the game, which is, I joke at that because like The Witness itself has over 600 puzzles in it proper, but then it has puzzles on top of that. So, but then maybe that's part of the demake of it. So I don't know.
Well, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah. The demakes, I don't know that I've ever played one to completion, but they're almost always interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. That's all I got.
I've got another one that's kind of like that. So this is weird that it came out before E3, but Final Fantasy XII is getting a remake, or an HD remaster.
That?
That is the one that is very similar to an MMO. It was the PS2 one that came out in 2006. It's where you could program your dudes to fight. I really enjoy it. It's got its problems, but like, I love the world and I like the story of your main party. I think the combat is real cool in the way that it can be broken. So the idea that this thing is coming to PS4 initially, but it's probably going to hit PC like a little bit later on, and it's getting the usual like, oh, we're upgrading the graphics and we're making it high res textures and stuff. I think the coolest thing, they say it's going to be high definition voiceover, like audio stuff, which is good, because if you go back and listen to the voice samples on PS2, it sounds like NES digitized speech. Rubble, rubble.
Huh.
Yeah. so if they have the original files and they're like, okay, we don't have to compress these to fit onto a DVD, have at you, then that is amazing.
Did people like comment that at the time?
Not really. Like, that just it was just amazing that there was a fully voiced Final Fantasy at this scale. I don't know, not like fully voiced, like the townspeople didn't have dialogue, but whatever, like it was
non-peasants.
It was impressive enough, but it was still something that kind of like took away from the experience, because everybody sounded like they were talking with aquariums strapped to their face. you know.
A filled aquarium, mind you.
Yes. So I'm excited about this. I think this is gonna be real cool. The bummer is that it's not coming to Vita. What's that?
Do you think it could work on Vita with all that extra data?
Maybe.
Huh.
I don't know.
I mean, maybe the graphics could run.
I trust that they will do whatever is best, but it seems like, I mean, we talked about the rumor that this was going to be coming out, you know, way back when, you know, like this has been kind of a known thing for a while.
It would suck if the fact that they wanted to do the full voicing kept it from coming to the Vita, if they could just put out the like pseudo voiced one and be done with it.
I think that the Vita is the reason that it's not coming to the Vita. I mean, it breaks my heart to say it, but like,
no, I can't even be mad at you. It's
yeah. So like,
that's true.
EVs, but yeah, it's like 2017. That's a bummer because it's gonna miss the 10th anniversary. That is bizarre because this is a game that I bought when we were in the dorms. Mm-hmm. So 10 years ago. High five.
Yeah. High five indeed.
Yeah.
I always make a fake sound effect whenever someone says that. But well,
high five.
I guess it's a real sound effect, but
well, it doesn't like map to anything. Well, it's just you saying yeah. Mm-hmm. David, what you got?
Sure. So I'm gonna do a little bit of a Ben thing.
Jeez.
So first off, apparently the Sound Brewery in Puebla, Washington is going to make a series of Mortal Kombat X themed beers. There's going to be a Sub-Zero Imperial IPA, a Raiden Imperial Saison? Not familiar with that.
Saison.
Saison. Mm-hmm. And a Scorpion Imperial Stout.
Hmm.
So, none of these are apparently beers that that I would drink, because I do neither stout nor hops, but...
Saisons are nice and refreshing. They're very...
are they?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Okay. They're kind of similar to like a wheat.
Oh, okay, I'd do that.
So it's like a lager. It's more in that line.
Usually that, a wheat or like a brown is kind of my jam.
They missed an opportunity by not calling it come over beer.
Does anyone else think that Sub Zero is way more of a stout than Scorpion is?
No, I think that the stout is as dark as Scorpion's soul. Scorpion's evil.
I see where you're going with that.
I feel like Scorpion should be like a spice porter or something like that.
Yeah, well, apparently it is going to be chili and vanilla bean flavored.
Comment redacted or retracted, either one.
I mean, just
depending
because...
on the edit.
I suppose. Huh. Yeah, that's I wonder how far this will be distributed.
Mm-hmm. They have to have like rights to it, right?
Maybe. I don't know if they're working with who owns Mortal Kombat now. I about said Midway, but they're dead as fuck.
I know. I kind of like, you know, obviously, I mean, I don't know. Is this brewery anyone's heard of before?
Nope.
So I kind of hope that this was just some brewery that had the balls to like call them up and be like, hey, can we do this?
Permission, forgiveness, all that.
Yeah, or they just took the IP and ran.
They took the IPA and ran. I can go all night. Like, it's not even a joke.
They took the IPA and ran?
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah.
you had to confirm it just so you like knew whether or not you needed to be disappointed.
I was right.
Yep.
Wait, what? Right.
I said he took the IPA and ran. We don't need to drag this through,
okay,
through the blood.
That's what I thought, no, but I wanted to give you the benefit of the doubt.
We should analyze this further.
In news, All Points Bulletin Reloaded is going to be released on the Xbox One, which I know this is a game I really liked that no one else did. You know, it's cops versus robbers, like open world third person shooter MMO that famously shut down after 3 months.
It was also really delayed too. It had like a story development.
Yeah. Story development. I think from what I've seen, I think a lot of the problem is just it's always had really, really bad monetization. But the actual core gameplay is really cool. It's, you know, it's open world and basically, you know, you join up at a team, you know, get matchmade to a team, and then it just will randomly basically assign one villain team to, you know, some mission and another just random cop team the mission to stop them. And so it's very much just like, you know, it's this open world city, so it's very much just all of a sudden you get this mission and you have to, you know, hop in your cop cars and roar across the city to, you know, stop these people. It's kind of what I feel like I always wanted. What was it? Battlefield Hardline or whatever to be, but apparently it wasn't.
Right.
Or GTA Online.
Right. So I always felt like it had, you know, it kind of stood on its own, but I think it was just, like I said, the monetization was really, really bad, at least in the reloaded version. Like, permanently unlocking a gun costs, like, $80.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
It's like, so like 80 real dollars, not, like, 80 in-game point dollars?
No, they did the whole, like, you could, you know, rent a gun with in-game money or you know, with, you know, buying money. And, you know, you could rent it for, like, a day for a certain amount and then, like, a week for a certain amount and a month for a certain amount and so on. And to do it, permanently, I want to say, maybe I'm wrong, it was at least like $40. It's been years since I've done it.
Still the cost of a game.
Right, exactly. But, yeah, so, I don't know, like, I haven't played it recently, maybe it hasn't held up, but I would probably try it again, so.
Yeah, so I forgot that this was the game that contributed to the death of Real-Time Worlds.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's the Scottish developer that did Crackdown.
Oh, okay, and that kind of explains, kind of similar looking theme.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Love.
Yeah. And actually, kind of cool story to a degree. But, yeah, and then I don't know, I've got one other, but I don't know if we want to go on.
It is running just a little long.
Sure, no problem.
Dennis, why don't you round us out?
Yeah, so one just really quick aside is that XCOM 2 is coming to consoles. Oh, so surprised. No, everyone saw that coming. And then the other story is that someone has made an actual real-life floating drone from Half-Life 2. So the city scanners that were in the game are now just in the world as a real thing.
Yeah,
is freaking awesome.
Definitely not the scale.
I think clearly, though, this person won't be able to complain when someone hits it with a crowbar, right?
I think that's why you bring spares.
I was hoping that would happen the entire video, and it didn't.
Just, it happens. He's like, no, Benny.
He's just trying to beat Valve.
I mean, he's going to send it in there to take spy shots of their non-existent whiteboards.
If I was Valve, I would be like, yes, I will order a dozen and just program them to fly around the halls.
Oh, yeah.
Just give tours and have one of those just randomly floating by on a pre-assigned path.
Things in the game are super creepy because they get right up in your face and snap a picture and then, like, fly away.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I'm just waiting for the next logical step is man hacks.
Yes, of course.
Yeah, you know, for the lumber industry.
Yeah, so for anyone who can't see the video, it's just a very cleverly disguised quadcopter, and made with parts that look like they're out of metal, but are really like foam and super duper light, so that the quadcopter can carry them. But it moves and looks just like the actual droids from the game.
Pretty great.
So yeah, cool stuff.
Yeah, that feels like a brief to me.
Wait a minute. Someone has actually attached a chainsaw to a drone.
Oh, God.
That's a terrible idea. It's kind of I've seen drones with pistols, too.
Have you seen the Japanese drones?
To attack, snowmen. That's awesome.
Have you seen the Japanese drones that have nets that catch other drones?
Anti-drone drones. This is how the war starts.
If you could figure out a way to make it viewable, like drone combat, I feel like I would watch.
It'd just be like battle bots, though, right?
Yeah, but flying and none, hopefully better armed.
They'd still find a way to make wedge bots work.
Yeah.
Now that feels like a brief.
Wait, what's wedge bots? How do you, are you trying to out wedge the other robot?
Most a lot of the robots, you know, wouldn't work if they were flipped over. So a lot of people who were just horrible, instead of, you know, outfitting their death robot with actual weapons, would basically just make it wedge shaped and attempt to like drive under other robots.
Yeah. I believe that was a design that was pioneered by one Grant Imihara, formerly of Mythbusters.
Oh, huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like the camping of BattleBots. Like, yes, it's an effective strategy, but come on, dude.
Why are we talking about BattleBots?
Because it's awesome.
Why is it taking us 150 whatever episodes to talk about BattleBots?
Now that feels like a brief to me. Multiplayer. Now it is time for the multiplayer, where we ask you a question and you answer it. Dennis, what is the question that you ask the nice people?
Yeah, since it's E3 week, I figured we'd have to do something related to E3. So I'm asking everyone to tap into their inner onion writer. Ooh, that's a tongue twister. And give us the headline that will dominate the internet after the conferences close.
Yeah, and I'm going to start us off. So this is a lot of like rapid fire jokey kind of stuff. So forgive us if we don't do an awful lot of commentary about them. But Roop writes,
Cole.
Yeah.
Do the reporter voice.
What?
Do the reporter voice.
Roop writes, Disney donates the rights to Monkey Island back to Ron Gilbert. Newsflash.
Yes.
Was that the reporter voice?
Good. Yes, exactly. Okay,
there we go. Yeah. Yeah, that'd be nice. I don't see it happening, but it'd be nice. Mm-hmm. Let's see here. Ben, what does Steven say?
No Man's Sky is indeed just a game, not the second coming of Christ.
So, at this point, can we say that No Man's Sky is the console Star Citizen?
Mm.
Yeah.
Because I think Star Citizen, it actually has some gameplay.
Well, I doubt that. Have you seen footage of Star Citizen? It's mostly like physics models spinning out in space.
It's like the middle section of 2001.
Exactly.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, they both seem pretty goofy, although people have not spent $10,000 on JPEGs of spaceships and start in No Man's Sky.
No, this is true.
Yeah. Let's see here. David, what does Derek say?
Derek says, The Last Guardian is finally released, and it's okay. I mean, I guess.
It's not the second coming or anything. Just in general, unless you hear otherwise, no game is the second coming.
Yeah.
That would be, you know, kind of a out of left field.
Oh, man.
Did Jesus.
No one expected him in a game.
Let's see here. Dennis, what does Brian say?
Brian says, these video games had their release dates delayed. You won't believe what happens next.
They come out later than usual. Yeah. I mean, it's good that we're already seeing a bunch of stuff get bumped to 2017, though. Like,
no, literally, you won't believe what happens next. People send freaking death threats. It's horrible.
Well, yeah.
To be fair, people send death threats for literally everything nowadays.
I'm not gonna boys will be boys this. I know you're joking, but
oh no, I'm not boys will be boys. I'm just saying shit's gotten crazy.
Yep. Oh, it's Thunderdome out there. Hmm. Crazy. Christopher writes, Frito-Lay is wins E3. I suppose with their chip discs.
Damn, there's a thing. I gotta go buy those right now.
Yeah, it is a choice between eating them or playing a game. It's chip discs.
And since all the games are being delayed to 2017, Fritos by default.
We're all going to starve. It's terrible.
Wait. So didn't I thought all the games had been delayed to 2016? So does that mean just no games are coming out this year?
Yeah, they're shutting down the industry. They're calling a snow day.
Our bad guys. Redo.
Pack it up. let us see here. Ben, what does Graham say?
Will VR be the next gaming revolution?
Now that's, you're supposed to write fake shit, Graham. Come on. Like, that's going to happen. We're not looking for like accurate predictions.
You got to flip the two words. VR will be the next gaming revolution.
Why VR is the next gaming revolution?
We've totally spent a lot of money on this, guys. Please have this be the next gaming revolution.
Everything sucks now.
Someone, please revolute.
You mean revolve? Everybody change places. Mean,
yeah. Not after the revolution, we don't.
Mm. You mean the Wii?
Yes. The Wii don't will be the new system.
David, what does Ollie say? And just go ahead and do both of these.
Sure. Ollie says, David Cage's claims new game breakthrough is in interactive fiction. Critics claim it's just a DVD of Alec McBeal with button press prompts.
They don't do anything.
Mm-hmm. And then Mad Cat's Treadmill for all your walking simulator needs.
Mad Cat's being the peripheral company.
Yeah, yeah.
Have you guys seen the gaming treadmills that like strap you in like one of those bouncy saucers that mm-hmm. you put babies in?
Mm-hmm.
Like it like I'm sure it's a cool immersive experience, but it looks so freaking dorky.
Yeah, it's like an 8-way. And like back when the Oculus was first like kind of starting out, they were doing some tech demos like here is Oblivion in this, and you can run across the entire world of Oblivion, like with your hands reaching out and your waist pressing up against the ring.
Yeah.
Little goofy. But yeah, it's totally a thing. I mean,
yeah, not serious and cool like wearing that gigantic mask on your face.
Yeah, well, that makes me look like a cyber fighter. Yeah. Let's see.
I know, though. I mean, you know, everyone knows walking simulators need to be, like, super realistic, so.
Yeah, well, you know, you're moving through and you're considering every detail.
Exactly.
Let's see.
Art, damn it.
Dennis, what does Eric say?
Brandon? Oh, no, sorry. Ah, yeah. Crap. Eric says, Splatoon sequel announced. Nintendo makes no improvements to online support.
Sounds like Nintendo to me.
Yeah, they're going to talk about Zelda and then just actively talk for the rest of the time about how they've done nothing else. They'll talk about all the opportunities that they had to do something helpful and passed on.
We're going to call a mulligan on this one, guys.
Yeah.
We get a rain check on the games. Franz writes, From Software to develop a Candy Crush sequel will have the quote Miyazaki touch. So you're gonna go full Konami.
Yeah, the emphasis
to be fair, wasn't that what Slashy Souls was?
Yeah, that sucked. So bad.
It'll have the Miyazaki touch and the Miyazaki swipe.
Miyazaki didn't have anything to do with Slashy Souls, though. Not that it would make any difference, because the Miyazaki touch is a myth. It contributes, but it is not everything. Shut up, nerds. Anyway, let's see here. Ben, what does David say?
David says, Bethesda announces Elder Scrolls Skyrim remaster with console mod support. Note, I don't think Elder Scrolls 6 is ready yet, but this would be a quick and profitable stopgap.
Oh, sure.
Same thing again. I wonder when they're going to get to the point where they do a remake thing, because I could see Elder Scrolls 6 kind of taking place in the remains of the blasted out crater of Morrowind.
Dude, we just did a story about how Final Fantasy 12 is coming back.
Yep.
It's remake central.
In POG form.
Are you talking specifically for Elder Scrolls games?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Sorry, missed that.
Yeah, specifically.
No, if the next Final Fantasy took place in Morrowind, I would buy the hell out of that game.
Yeah, I'd be curious to see the decisions that go into making something like that, actually. David, what does Sam say?
Sam says, Half-Life 4 release date.
They're pulling a Frog Fractions, too. Dennis, what does Mikhail say?
Mikhail says, new hardware offers immersive experience, says Platform Odor. Yup.
Yeah.
Guys, get ready for so much jargon.
You know, I know that you guys are going to go to the dingus with the mm-hmm. with the stuff. You can't, like, drink when somebody says shit like that, though. There. That would be it.
Die of alcohol poisoning.
Well, I want my corpse to be somebody else's problem. Not my landlord. Come on. Oh,
that's right. We'll figure out what we're gonna do for it. We'll do something fun.
Yeah. Was that you, Dennis?
That was me.
Okay. Allison writes, who cares about E3 when we could be playing all the hot new Wii U release? Sorry, when we could be playing the hot new Wii U release, B3 Game Expo for bees.
Oh, this is not.
I have to click on this.
Yeah, me too. It's a Nintendo.com URL, so.
This is an actual thing.
That or we now all have spyware. Allison has stolen our identities.
Oh no, she's playing the long con. It's just hours before the start of B3, the annual game expo for bees. You are the brand new security bee at the convention hive. During your night shift, you were unable to pull yourself away from meeting all the pre-B3 hype on BChat. Consequently, you completely neglected your patrolling before accidentally drifting off to sleep in the security pod. Your adventure begins here. When all honey breaks loose, will you be able to save B3?
This is a horrible game because, I mean, if you're a security bee, then, you know, biology says when you do your job, you end up dead.
Maybe he does his job by dancing. He does the stay away dance.
Nope, I'm watching the trailer. He does his job by shooting.
Well, no, he just got a bunch of friends that he's killing. Steve, yeah. I'm going to save B3 by killing you. That's the line read. That's the thing. B3 is a single player FPS adventure with an emphasis on exploration, puzzle, and story. Good for them.
I'm so confused right now.
Ben, what does Tim say?
Tim says, akin to Xbox One's pre-release E3 of sports, TV, 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 it will likely be nothing but VR, 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 NX, NX, NX. I don't know what NX is.
Nintendo's new shit. It's Nintendo's new thing.
Next console. Much the way it had been for the last 9 months.
Yeah. Yep. Is Nintendo going to be at E3? I think they're going to have their own shit like outside of it.
I think they've got an area, but they only got the one thing they're talking about, and they're not doing a separate Nintendo Direct.
Right.
I do not understand Nintendo.
Playing their own game. I don't know if it's a better game, but it's a different game.
It's a shovelware game.
David, what does Chase say?
Chase says, Dark Souls 3, Curse of the Lord Souls, out this fall. I'd love to see some Dark Souls 2 love in the DLC.
Yeah, well, they've already announced that there's going to be like 2 or 3 DLC packs for Dark Souls 3.
Huh,
cool.
I would too. It sucks that they just basically put Dark Souls 2 in a deep, dark pit. In the pit. Let's see. Is this me? I lost track. We're going so fast.
Gus says Nintendo will announce the GBA lineup for the 3DS Virtual Console and for all 3DS models, not just the new 3DS. Fingers crossed.
Yeah. That'd be great. Nice. Yeah, I need to play more of my new 3DS. I'm trying to decide if I want to get to Zero Time Dilemma on that or the Vita. I'm leaning toward Vita. Because it'll be prettier there.
Yeah, I'm with you on that, because then I can steal it from you.
I'm probably going to do a physical copy, too, so I can use Amazon's, 20% off when you buy a new game deal.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, let's see here. So writes, PS4 lends Demon's Souls and Dark Souls remasters. Yeah, I want Demon's Souls on a playable console so more people can go listen to that season, I suppose. It sucks that Demon's Souls is just on the one thing.
I saw, no, it was for the first Dark Souls. There was like that international start a new game day for it.
Yes.
So you could all play through and kind of have a quote-unquote thriving community around it. Mm-hmm. It's a cool idea.
Yeah. It sucked that it seemed to be mostly about PvP, though, a little bit.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I'm not great at that.
But they don't punish you for disconnecting people in that one, right?
I can't recall.
Maybe. I don't know.
Let's see here. Ben, what does Kilo say?
Kilo says, Nintendo film franchise to follow Marvel's style, culminating in a crossover Super Smash Brothers in 2020.
I never considered Super Smash Brothers to be the Avengers.
It kind of is. It's like the Avengers of video games.
Huh. You mean it's not Sony PlayStation All-Stars?
That game, yeah.
I said that as a joke, but then I realized that you like that game, Dennis, and I'm sorry.
Yeah, as much as I like any brawler of that type, which okay. I'm famously bad at. But yeah, I mean, based on Civil War, they spend about the same amount of time fighting each other, so totally could be the Avengers.
Hmm. And then David, round us out with Greg.
Sure. Greg says, Nintendo's last gasp to stay in the console market with the NX.
Yeah. I'm curious about it. I don't know that I'm like, I'm not putting them on Death Watch for it. It's just, they have to.
I don't know. Nintendo kind of reminds me of a lot of Microsoft in that they're both companies that seems like it's like just stop making shit.
Yeah, well, this is big, and it's bigger than we're giving it credit for, because, you know, they came out with the Wii, which was a zig when everyone else zagged, and everyone, you know, blew their minds, this huge revolution, and struck gold, whatever. And then they came out with Wii U and tried to recapture that and missed. And so now this is like the tiebreaker. You're going to have two misses in a row, or did you actually know what the hell you were doing with the Wii and didn't completely luck into it?
Do you think that they're more likely to succeed because they're hungry?
I'd say honestly, I think they're more likely to fail because they're hungry.
Well, I mean, I'm just asking questions.
Yeah, Nintendo is just so off in their own little world that it's hard to say.
Yeah,
I mean, we kind of already addressed that they can't really do multiplayer too well, and their graphics are about, you know, 5 to 10 years behind, so. They have to make up for it with content.
Yeah.
Well, and generally speaking, the only content they have is what, like, games they make in Bayonetta.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I mean, but that's been the case since forever, though.
Yeah, but you know? I mean, I think that's ultimately the problem, though, yeah. Or at least some of it.
Yeah. Like, they've generally succeeded in spite of that. Right. You know, in spite of the fact that they're primarily, you know, their system is just, you know, like just first party, at least as far as we are concerned, you know, the market made up of people like us. You know, the question is that just kind of like diminishing returns at this point? You know, can they still get around that? Like, I don't know. Just like, does it get harder for them to succeed each and every time?
I guess, you know? I mainly care about them making good, you know, about them making a good console. So like, I don't know, maybe they can make money that way. I don't think they can make a particularly good console that way.
Yeah. I don't know. Good is different. Yeah, so thank you everybody for writing in. If you want to participate in these in the future, go to facebook.com/thelevelpodcast in order to check for those. They generally go up on Tuesday afternoons. And we appreciate everybody who chimed in.
The grind.
Now it is time for the grind, where we talk about the games that we have been playing over the past period of time or so. Let's see here. Who wants to go first?
I can jump in.
Go ahead, Dennis.
Yeah, so I've been playing this new class-based shooter that seems to be all the rage. Maybe you guys have heard of it.
Overwatch.
Team Fortress 2? it came out within the last decade.
Just barely.
Just, yeah, 2007.
You should feel standard at work.
You should feel bad.
That I'm just now playing it, or that I'm playing it, period?
I don't know. Let's pick your reason.
Yeah.
You should all feel a little bad.
Just in general.
I don't know. Everyone was playing Overwatch, and I don't have a machine that can run Overwatch. And I was like, well, I'm feeling like a class-based shooter just because, you know, I want something Overwatch flavored. Yeah, I want the cheap knockoff.
That's what's in the water, you know?
Yeah.
It's not the cheap knockoff. It's the original, like Overwatch.
It's
the iteration. It's like what follows, but.
Yeah, I want white label Overwatch. But right. So it scratched that itch for sure.
Hmm. So this is your first time playing Team Fortress 2?
First time coming to it. And the big fear with a game like that is always like, okay, you know, everyone knows what they're doing except for me. And everyone has identified all the key choke points on the map and, you know, what have you. and you're just so far behind because anyone playing it has been playing it for 5 years and it's their thing.
Be fair, you can look up heat maps on Valve's website.
I didn't even need to do that. I was pleasantly surprised that I was able to just jump right in and do fairly well for myself, just, you know, gallivanting around, having no idea what I was doing, just kind of having fun.
Which class did you play as?
I started out as engineer, and I was like, you know, I'm going to pick something that's a little less directly combative, so a little bit more of a support class, and I'm going to stick with one class and really focus on it and kind of master it, and that'll be my way to make the game manageable. And I think that was completely the wrong way to go about it. One, because I was playing as an engineer, and I think that is a class that is particularly reliant on understanding like the map structure and the strategy and the flow of the game. So yeah. That's probably not a friendly class for a first timer. But then two, just because the game really flows well around changing classes as the other team's comp and as the situation demands. And so it's like, you know, I finally broke down, I guess I'll say, but I finally decided, okay, screw it. I'm just going to start trying different classes. And I noticed that our team didn't really have any medics on it, so I switched to a medic. And it was totally fun and intuitive how to play it, and that was really successful. And so that kind of opened up the floodgates to me just feeling much more emboldened to switch around at random, or, you know, at will. And that worked really well and made the game really, really fun. So I don't know exactly what, like, my kill-death ratio was or anything like that, but I won more games than I lost, and I felt like I was really contributing in a meaningful way all the time. Just by switching to, like, you know, we're in kind of this intense situation where I think a big beefy guy would be useful. I'm going to switch to a heavy. Or like I said, I don't see any other medics, so I'm going to be the medic. Or I didn't quite get to like the sniper or the spy or any of that stuff. But the soldier I played as and had fun with that. The game feels really good to play and it feels like it rewards switching around classes.
Yeah. This is going to sound pejorative, and I don't mean it that way. Did you explicitly seek out newbie servers?
I did not know that was a thing. I just used the auto match. So
okay, yeah,
no,
well, maybe their matching ends up working really well. Like maybe there's more of it. Back in the time when I played, it was more of just kind of like a straight up server browser, and there were servers that announced themselves as newbie servers. I never ran into one that was just kind of like a honeypot looking for easy scores.
Right, I'd be worried about that.
You know, but like usually they were like good places where people were just kind of there to play and have fun, as opposed to, you know, on any kind of grind.
Well, the servers that
basically what Cole's saying is that he found servers the right way.
Yeah. I was worried when I talked about a server browser that was going to happen. Thank you for proving me right.
I'm here for you. Got your back.
But I noticed, and I don't know if it did this when you played, but it auto balanced the teams on the servers that I was on. So after every single round, I would get a little notification saying like teams have been auto balanced.
Yeah.
And I thought that was just incredibly smart.
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead.
It also won't let you stack the teams, I believe.
Yeah, it seemed very, very fair that way.
Yeah.
So that made a lot of sense and made the games really snappy and fun.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's also like a per server thing too. Like, you know, everything kind of has its own rule sets.
Because there's I've seen like servers that will like put maximums on classes and stuff like that. So
sure.
There's
sure.
also some sort of weird thing where I forget what it is, but it's like there's something like, at least in the official maps or something, it's like the attackers always start like spawn slightly closer to the objective than the defenders or something like that in order to basically encourage maps not to be stalemates. There's some weird stuff like that they do in the map design.
Interesting. No, the maps that I played, the defenders always had a minute to kind of get set up at whatever objective before the action started. So it was kind of advantage defenders in every map that you played. It's interesting you bring up the official maps because all but one of the maps I played were at least had the label community created. And it like listed the names of the people who I assume from the community who made these maps. And I don't have a reference point for what the official ones are versus community community created, so I don't know what percent of maps are.
Yeah.
But mm-hmm. every so it was probably like three community maps that I played on, and then one official map, and they all felt really high quality and well put together.
I know they also started like they started doing basically like kind of Valve approved community maps or whatever.
I think that's what I was getting. Yeah. Just like the only other experience I have with community maps was way back with the Rainbow Six games. And it was like, you know, they were all horrible sniper battle oriented with, you know, special spots carved out just for the person who made the map and that, you know, knew where they were and all that. Like, it was totally cheesy.
You should try sometime like, getting one of the old Unreal Tournament games is worth doing just for seeing some of the custom maps.
Sure, like, that's where they mess like with gravity and stuff, right?
Well, and just like there's a map that you'd see every so often where someone basically made like a scale model of a house, where except to the scale where like your character was like 5 inches tall.
Nice. But, yeah, that sounds really cool. But yeah, so it was cool to see such high quality community work. And since that I would cool. like I did the like auto select a server for me or whatever, I have to imagine that funnels you towards the like Valve approved servers rather than just dropping you in the first place with an open spot.
Yeah.
But I enjoyed it and I'm gonna go back to it. I have not touched their co-op horde mode yet, and I would love to. So
I
have
get in on that.
I don't know when they added it, but it sounds like there's a lot of people who haven't tried it yet. So if you would like to take a walk down memory lane with me and can put down Overwatch for, you know, a half hour, I would love to check that out with some people. So
I'm staring down the barrel of buying Overwatch because I want to be part of it. But I, you know, God knows I don't like having people depend on me.
Would you buy it for a computer or for PS4?
A computer.
Gotcha. I think that feels like the right place to play it.
Yeah. You can also get it for cheaper on computer. There's like a $39.99 version on PC, whereas the console ones are $60.
Yeah.
If I could run it, I'd definitely be playing it now.
Yeah. Yep. I want to see what all the fuss is about.
Sure.
Yeah.
That's something this scale feels like $40 is a worthwhile investment.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Just to check out and understand and have experienced.
Yeah.
Yep.
Now, $800 to get a new computer to play the game and then buy the game. That one's really difficult for me.
If you weren't going to do that for XCOM, you were not going to do that for Overwatch.
No, that's very, very true.
So once XCOM comes out for consoles, are we going to have a XCOM bonus level?
Well, yeah, but then it will be eaten by the computer and destroyed.
Yeah, so I don't know if people know. I think we announced that we actually did an XCOM bonus level. Me, Ben, and Adrian, who we interviewed about BioShock, actually came back on. And it was an amazing episode, and I just screwed up the recording and lost all the audio.
Yeah.
But it was a really good time and really interesting conversations, and there was a poll and all that stuff. So
that'll teach you to go behind my back. you know that Sweet Daddy Cole brings the sugar, all right?
I should have at least like asked you how to set it up. Instead, I was like, oh, just Google.
I think I was on vacation or I was sick that week or something like that. It was, yeah. I hope you know I'm being facetious.
So yeah, no, I do. Yeah. So anyway, but XCOM 2 might push us to get back in. Ben, you haven't played it yet?
Nope, I have not.
You're not just not mentioning it out of consideration for me.
Yeah, I'm not that nice, I guess, but I also I have not done that.
Well, it's cool that you're digging Team Fortress 2. Have you just kind of done the standard class loadouts, or have you been able to kind of like customize and make them do different shit?
I've done just the standard loadouts. I think it's all cosmetic, and I could be wrong about that.
No, there are different weapons and stuff that'll, you know, like it lets you kind of build these class hybrids out of us and different things.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So, no, I haven't done that. I think the game shows its age and that there is no progression or leveling system that I'm aware of.
Yeah.
You just play the game and have fun. And it makes me a little bit sad how dependent on that kind of RPG-esque system I've become.
Yeah.
Like, I can't just play a game and have a really fun time and enjoy myself and then not feel a pang of like, aw, when I don't see a bar go up at the end of it. Like, it just feels bad.
Yeah, you're living for
it. Feels dirty to me.
You're living for the meta loop.
Yeah, exactly. So that's revealed an unfortunate side of myself, I guess. Mm. But overall, I'm very much enjoying it.
Nice. What else?
I finished Rogue Legacy.
Mm.
So I stalled out literally about halfway through. I'd beaten 2 of 4 bosses and then stopped playing. So I just ducked back in. And I think the reason I stopped playing is I got tired of the grind to upgrade my character to the point it was viable to finish the game. And so after having taken a however many month break from it, I was able to do a couple, you know, straight up just farming for gold runs. Had a lot of success there, which meant I could upgrade my character to the point where I could just take on the bosses. And once you're upgraded enough that you can just go straight to the boss area and not worry about getting more money, it significantly speeds up the end of the game. Not in a bad way. You know, I'd kind of seen, I knew the grindy side of mm-hmm. Rogue Legacy. So I was very happy that I was able to get back through to the final bosses and finish it out.
Good.
I will say finished instead of beat because the final boss does have a second form that just feels like the one time I got the second form, like it was really hard to beat the boss. And I was like, yay, I did it. And then it's like, oh, wait, I'm going to come back because it's even worse now. And just flooded the screen with projectiles that I have no idea how I could have dodged.
Yeah.
And I instantly died. And I was like, well, you know, screw that. I feel closure on this now. I'm finished with it.
Yeah.
They
pull the old FTL rug yank.
Yeah, exactly. So I you know, I got through the big door that you see every time you go into the castle, and that was enough for me.
Nice.
You beat the guy behind it, and that was enough.
You're playing that on Vita, right?
Oh no, I was playing it on Steam.
Oh well.
That was so I could stream it.
Okay.
Yep.
Neat.
So, scratched the roguelike itch. I scratched the class-based shooter itch. I'm just going through and scratching itches, guys.
You're just tracing your Jones.
You should have that looked at.
Yeah.
Do you stream through Steam or do you have a program to stream?
No, I use OBS. I was not aware that Steam streamed.
I don't think it can, but I wasn't sure. I wanted to give you the benefit of the doubt.
it's OBS.
Yeah. All right. Yeah.
Neat. Cool. I'm going to throw in with mine. So continue playing Steins Gate and my thoughts still remain. I'm getting into the endings and those are pretty cool. First one I got was really dark, darker than the rest of the game had been up to that point. So that was a little bit of a rug yank, but yeah, I'm still kind of, jamming on getting it finished. It's kind of taking the place of my evening reading right now. Which, you know, makes sense. It is a visual novel.
Yeah, I was going to say, you replace your reading with reading.
Yes. let me see here. The actual thing I've been playing besides Steins;Gate has been Dangerous Golf.
Oh, yeah. I've heard of this.
So this is a game that is made by a studio that is composed of a bunch of ex-Criterion people. Criterion being the team behind the Burnout games. Specifically, a lot of the Burnout games that had kind of the crash modes where you were trying to do as much damage as possible on the roads. Now, this takes that same kind of principle and applies it towards golf in an enclosed space full of a lot of expensive objects.
Oh yeah, like the image
sounds
I'm
like
looking
a
at
golf
is...
game I might actually play.
It's funny that it's themed after golf because it has very little to actually do with golf, aside from the fact that there is a golf ball and a tee. Like there's, you know, there really isn't a par. There really isn't really any shot control. You're just kind of picking a direction and kind of picking a speed. Like you have like a brake and an accelerator almost. So like if you hold the brake, you'll do like a drop shot. And if you hold the accelerator, you will just kind of do this really like low straight, kind of power drive almost. So the loop goes like you kind of load into this like little mini mission where you're inside this room that is kind of made up of a bunch of like Unreal 4 physics objects. And it says like, hey, you know, here you go. And the name of the mission in kind of a fashion that's kind of a little bit like a little inferno. The name of it is the hint for like what you're going after. You tee off and you get that one hit, and that's just kind of like straight up, you hit it and it goes the direction that you hit it, and bounces around wherever it rests. If you do enough, money's worth of damage, then you enter something that's like the super blaze mode or whatever. It is inconsequential. But that is like you charge up your golf ball into like a fireball and you hit it, and whatever it hits explodes. You have the ability to kind of like influence the flight path, so you can steer it, and the length of time that the ball can fly, is charged up is related to how much damage you did on that first hit. And then after you do that, you have to hope that you are able to get it into the hole, because you can highlight the flag and then get it in there. There's like an awful lot of like auto aim. Like, I've made some preposterous shots, and I know I'm not good enough to actually do that. So I think that like they're being really generous. If you don't make it into the hole at the end, you still get like a score, but your score is cut in half. So you're not going to like trip the threshold to get like a gold, silver, or bronze medal.
Gotcha. It looks like you can control the ball, the direction of the ball while it's flying.
That is if you are in like the Super Smash, like this is a fireball.
Only
kind of thing.
If that. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah,
gotcha.
Yeah. And it's a little bit awkward. Like, you kind of have to steer it. So this is a weird thing. It's a pretty visually impressive game, like in a technical sense. A lot of it looks like, oh, this is like Unreal Asset Store kind of stuff, but like whatever. However, the system requirements are kind of high. Like, my graphics card is right on the lower end on my PC. And I was like, well, I'd like to get this on PC if I can, because, I like having stuff in my Steam library. However, it caused my computer to crash. So this is the first time I've had to use, it would run for a little bit and then it would just crash. And I was like, well, that's a bummer. So this is the first time I've had to use Steam refunds. And that went fine.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, but I bought it on PS4. Like, I would feel terrible, like, if I got this game, played it for a half an hour, and I was like, I like the game, but it just won't run. Like, I just went and bought it on PS4,
Gotcha.
Yeah. So, like, it's cool, when you are, like, when you get a good run, when the game is in motion and stuff is kind of, like, falling over, it's very, kinesthetically satisfying in the way that, like, Burnout is when you are kind of doing the aftertouch to like run into more cars and things like that. Like, nobody would claim it's the smartest thing or is even trying to be like very complex. It feels very shallow to me right now, and maybe it's just because I'm not like seeing the meta layer on top of it, because there are like little achievements you can get for like finding hidden stuff in the levels, and there are like special smashes for each of these individual like challenges and things like that. And it is a pretty game, and it seems like there's an awful lot to do in it. I think my biggest problem right now is that even though it's the most fun when it's in motion, it stops way too often, kind of like golf. No, I mean, like, there's a loading screen to get into the match. If you like botch it and you restart, there's a loading screen to go back to the main menu. There's a loading screen for the main menu. And I thought, like, oh, this is just my computer. It's at the low end of the specs. It's trying to put whatever. But then I put it on the PS4 and it was still the same. Still the same problem. And it's like, I kind of literally just want to be in the fireworks factory and
yeah,
it's not letting me be there. Weirdly,
is one of the levels the fireworks factory, because that'd be pretty awesome.
I mean, it'd be pretty cool. I would not put it above the game or below the game. It is the kind of thing I would expect from this game. However, like, just everything blows up when you hit it. I wish it was faster, because I really just want to like see shit explode. And it kind of runs counter to the structure too, right? Like, it's a little bit like an Angry Birds kind of thing, where you have like, it's like a physics thing, you has the stuff set up and you're just kind of trying to knock down as much of it as you can. And it's structured like a mobile game, like where you just have like these little miniature challenges, and instead of having like stars, it just has these medals and stuff. But like, it is structured like a mobile game that has as much friction as possible between these attempts, and that's a real bummer to me.
This feels like a game that would benefit heavily from just a cheat code to make you not have to worry about all that stuff. Like, set it low graphic settings, give it a cheat code to just make your ball like
infinite speed and indestructible and then just go to town.
Yeah. Just the load screens were like half as long. It would like, I feel like it would be less of a bother, but right now it's just kind of, it's getting in the way of my, like, and I hate to say that, but like what amounts to maybe 5 seconds, you know, at a crack is like getting in the way of my enjoyment. But like the rounds are so short, like it's literally like 3 strokes and you're out.
Yeah. But I mean, that's, you know, there's so much to be said for that dopamine squirt or whatever. Just the, it feels good to get right back into something. Right. And this is kind of it almost put in the category of that flow kind of game.
Mm-hmm.
Where just, it feels good to kind of be playing it and not thinking about it that much.
Yeah.
That a loading screen just knocks you right out of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But like, I'm not upset that I bought it because I've been waiting for it for a very long time and the sunk cost fallacy is in effect. No, I mean, like, I dig the actual loop. I just kind of wish that it like more intuitively fit on the platforms that it was on, you know?
Yeah. How much of this game have you seen? Like, how many different levels have you opened up?
I've probably done about like 10% of it.
Okay.
So there are like individual stages, like, so there are countries, there are 4 countries, and then each of them has like fancy dining room. Here's the kitchen. Here's the museum room and stuff like that. And then each of those has anywhere between like 5 and 10 little challenge kind of like shots, each of which has its own, like little setups. Right. So even though it doesn't look like a different level, the different configurations kind of change the geometry of what you're trying to approach.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, it's a sufficiently big game. Like, it seems like there is enough game there for the $20 that I spent on it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So yeah, Dangerous Golf. Just let me play you, please.
Yeah.
And that's all. Any more questions about Dangerous Golf?
What is like the most epic thing you've done or destroyed or?
Oh man, I knocked over like 5 different tables of gold chalices, which is pretty good. One of which I knocked over from the bottom by doing a pretty sick bounce up, like bounce up into it because I couldn't get it out of it. A little bit, yeah. Like I hit it right. So apparently they didn't have to explode; they just had to be knocked over. And the last one, I was like, "Can I get the last one? Can I get the last one?" It's like, no, I just bumped it from below, and then they all came tumbling down.
Nice.
Yeah. Cool. Let's see here. David, what you got?
Sure. I've just been playing Dark Souls 3. Okay. So let me think where I was last time. So I think I had maybe just gotten to the catacombs last time, something like that.
Yeah. You were brushing up against the boss of the catacombs.
Oh,
I will say.
Yeah. So I finally, after like 3 or 4 tries, I beat.
one second here. I'm going to bleep that out. We're like, you're getting far enough to the point where it's going to be difficult to talk about a lot of stuff in specifics because of spoilers.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, like
I beat a guy that boss fight was just kind of bullshit.
Yeah. I was curious. That's what I was talking about. I was kind of like warning you that it's It is a problem because of the way it's set up. Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like, from what I've saw, it sounds like, strictly speaking, whatever in terms of like, it being arbitrarily unbeatable, certain runs they fixed, but it still is just, dramatically luck based.
Yeah.
So like, you know, I like my final run that I did, I beat it, like I virtually didn't take any damage.
Yeah.
So and I think part of it also is that fight is like a big time DPS race because like certain of his of the boss's moves just make the fight dramatically harder.
Right.
So a lot of the strategy simply revolves around killing it before it has a chance to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know, like overall, I think it's too bad because I think in terms of like the scenario and the you know, the visuals and stuff like that, it's actually a pretty cool boss.
Oh yeah, the theming is amazing.
Yeah. So and overall, like I felt like that was that is a pretty cool level overall.
Mm-hmm.
Got through that, and then
yeah, after that is Irithyll.
Right, and so I got through Irithyll.
You can't say what comes after Irithyll. I'm sorry.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, can I say I'm in the dungeon, or is like
the dungeon? The dungeon is fine. The other way out is.
See, not... I haven't explored that. I haven't explored the other way that much.
Okay. Yeah. Don't. If you go the other way, don't talk about it on anything.
Okay. Fair enough. So
what about bonfire side chat?
Well, I mean, when we get there. that is
No, not even there.
Even acknowledging the existence of what
for yourself. Yeah. It's deeply intimate and personal, and just sharing it with anyone takes away from it.
Yep, it's like floor 13. We just skip over it. Yeah. So you've gone into the dungeon, and you've gotten to Latria Part 2.
Yes. I didn't play Latria Part 1, so
it's a Demon Souls level.
Yeah. So that area is just kind of bullshit.
Hmm.
I know. Like I think it was a combination of like the enemies that drain your health are just kind of really annoying and difficult to deal with.
Wait. And don't all enemies itself... drain your health?
Huh?
I said wait. Don't all enemies drain your health?
There's I don't know what spoilers. There's enemies that basically, as long as you're in their line of sight, your maximum health decreases.
Yeah, and when they die, you know, it takes your actual health with it, so your maximum goes up, but you're still very weakened.
Huh.
And so it's like from I've invested fairly heavily in health. And I'd be like from full to empty in like 5 to 10 seconds.
Yeah. Well, because there are so many of them too. So like that whole stage is about figuring out how to either like deal with them or get past them as quickly as possible.
Well, yeah. And that was the big thing is like the final area of it. There's literally like 10 of them, and it just turns into like basically you shoot them with an arrow, hide around a corner and gank them before they can turn to look at you.
Yeah.
Like it's just, and like I said, just the level itself. And this is actually, I listened to the first part of your, the Bonfire Side Chat's kind of your first impressions. And mm-hmm. one of the things you mentioned is just kind of the structure of the game, makes it very, very tiring.
Yeah, it is a long road.
And yes, and I feel like I know, like there's been a couple of things where it's just like this one in Irithyll just have a lot of very unpleasant things you have to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
This
is a convenient point though, because you can actually go the other way and make a little bit of progress. It is one of those inflection points, like the choice between Cathedral of the Deep and Farron's Keep.
If
one is too much for you, or if it's not to your style of play, you can go to the other.
Okay. Well, I mean, I just got to the place after the dungeon.
Okay.
And, I don't know, like some shit's going down, but I haven't figured out what yet.
That is Dark Souls in a nutshell.
Yeah, it really, like, this is one of the things where, like, I kind of wish I'd played one of the other games just so I could had a better scale of, like, I could better calibrate my scale of, like, shit is happening.
is this normal?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, like, for example, like the area I'm in is apparently just filled with gold, and I don't know why. So that was interesting. The person who designed Irithyll's sewers can go fuck themselves.
Yeah, but the person who designed its skybox can go friend themselves.
Oh yeah, that area that is just amazing.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
Good shit.
So, also as a side note, the person who designed the spider dude in the Cathedral of the Deep can go fuck themselves. So that one, I know that one I think was pretty much straight bullshit. Like, just having an enemy just like spawn is bullshit. But yeah,
it's still pretty funny.
Yeah,
it could be bullshit and funny at the same time.
Yes, it is. But that was one of the many enemies that I cheesed with arrows.
Yeah.
I went with I got to a point where I basically had to choose between two side quests, so I went with
we're getting into dicey territory.
Okay. Sorry.
And kind of in general, like from this point forward, it's going to be like, so you're about two thirds of the way through the game right now.
Oh, okay. My bad.
So, I mean, it is a relatively short game. It's going to get hard to continue doing like these little trip reports without me saying, bup, 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 bup. No, it's fine. I just want you to know so you can be aware of it. Yeah.
Don't spoil it for me, David.
I'm more worried about Dennis, really, and the listeners who are not as far.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's right. I have so much game to get through to get to that point, including Bloodborne, that I'll have forgotten everything by the time I'm there.
Well, I would say just like more generalities. I have enjoyed just like it got to the point where like I had to choose between you know two sets of people. And like the point where that happens and all of a sudden I'm just clearing out one of the factions.
Yeah.
Just and that's actually was maybe the biggest thing is I hadn't really done any of the like optional invasions or anything like that.
Right.
And I feel like this like right when you get into Erythor, there's a very overt option to do that. Mm-hmm. With one of the side quests, I did it and it was fun. So I then went and like did all of those. And so that's actually been a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I know it's, other than the freaking, bullshit water things.
Yeah. So you've gotten through like the majority of the kind of like questionable design decisions, at least in terms of like, oh, the gimmick of this stage can go fuck itself kind of stuff. So like, I don't know, like it sounds, yeah, it sounds like you have momentum. Like this is one you can get through. So that's pretty cool.
I think so. I'm definitely getting to the point where like, I think stat wise, I feel like there's some momentum.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of I'm getting to where like I usually my DPS is kind of where I need to be, stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, like you definitely get on the better slope with the power curve, you know.
Yeah. I was actually gonna ask about like that. Like, does that tend to be a thing in these games?
Oh, definitely.
Okay, that's kind of cool. Yeah. It does strike me just I don't know from a story standpoint, kind of weird that apparently. Almost none of the other characters like seem to have any problems getting through these places.
That's always the thing.
Yeah. But is your character returning to life when you get killed? Like, is that considered like canon or whatever?
Yeah.
Okay. And does anyone else do that? Canonically?
Not in your world. Everybody, pretty much everybody that you encounter, is some form of a hollow, or undead. So they've died and come back to life.
Because like there are several instances where like you can like kill someone both as an invader and apparently as a person.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I know it's just the rules that like when you're invading as a phantom, doesn't actually kill you, or is that like, do they ever explain any of that?
I would encourage you not to pull on that piece of yarn.
Okay.
Because otherwise the more you think about it, the less it makes sense. And that's why on Bonfireside Chat, we always throw out like, oh, it's timey wimey, it's spacey wacy, it's convergy wargy, like all that is kind of like the fiction is that the rules of the world are breaking down in such a way that like these kind of gameplay kind of considerations that they've made make a little bit of narrative sense, but not a tremendous amount. So you just kind of have to roll with it, you know.
Okay.
Yeah.
But yeah. So I don't know. Yeah. Overall, it seems pretty legit. So
cool. Yeah. Ben, how about you?
So I only have a little one. Of course, I have the usuals. I have FTL. I have Rocket League. Whatever. I picked up a new game this last week. I picked up This War of Mine because it was on sale for half off. I only played a little bit of it and felt very stressed out after 3 days of playing it. So,
you didn't even get to the worst of it.
Man, like it goes downhill so quickly, man. Yeah. Like everyone's sick. They have wounds. I have to rob from other people. That doesn't seem right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So some background, if somebody has not heard of this game, it's basically a war game from the perspective of the people who are living in the country while the war is going on. And basically, you are from the perspective of kind of like a home base. You start off with three people, and you're just trying to survive by scavenging things and building things like a bed so that you can sleep and not feel terrible. So... Yeah.
So like the loop is, we've talked about this before and we even alluded to like recently we talked about a news story where this is getting a board game adaptation.
Mm-hmm.
Like you split time and during the day you're kind of building your house, you know, fortifying this abandoned bombed out place that you're living. Mm-hmm. And then by night you run these missions, right?
Mm-hmm.
Give me some reports on some missions that you've done.
So I have done one mission because I accidentally did not scavenge the first night. I pressed the wrong button. The second night I scavenged, but I realized that scavenging meant stealing because I went to another person's house.
Right.
And they had guns at that house. I accidentally climbed up a ledge where a dude with a gun was. I could not beat him with my fist.
Right.
Guns are greater than a fist. Man down. Yeah. So... I think I'll probably have to start over since I was operating at 2/3 capacity, but
it's meant to be rolled over like that.
Okay.
Think of it like almost like a Civ campaign or something like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll see. Mm-hmm. I basically had one smaller sitting of it, got pretty stressed out. And I was like, I'll have to play this on a weekend and not a weekday.
It is one of the better survival sims that I've seen. Like, I don't know about like, you know, how accurate it is or whatever. I don't really care about that, but like, it is such a good melding of kind of the theme and the gameplay around it. Or by gameplay, I mean like the core mechanics of going out and doing those missions and things like that. Like you could have skinned this in any number of ways that wouldn't have served it to make the exact point they were trying to make, you know?
Okay.
Yeah. So it is incredibly potent in that regard. And you're right. You do feel like a piece of shit stealing from a hospital, you know?
Yeah. And like one of the options every night, you basically assign your people to different tasks. And so they can either scavenge, they can defend your house, which has kind of bad implications with it, where it's like, oh, eventually people are going to try and break in and kill me.
Yeah.
Or you can sleep. And so most of your people don't even sleep. So
it's like Oregon Trail and every night is a river
and the pace is constantly grueling.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. That seems pretty apt. So we'll see. We'll see how far I get on that.
Yeah.
It's a very different type of punishing than FTL, where like FTL is like happy and spacey and like, yeah, sometimes you die and it sucks, but it's still, you know, happy and spacey. But like this. Yeah, this is bleak.
Yeah.
So is there a end game? Can you like refugee or anything like that? Or
I don't know. I don't know if I want to know because I don't know that much about the game yet.
Right.
So I don't know.
So I will not answer the question.
Thank you.
Yeah. Cool. Is that all?
That's all.
Do you guys want to button it up?
Let us button.
The credit. Thank you so much, everybody, for listening. It has been fun doing this podcast with and for you. Let's see here. By way of things that are going on, if you're a Patreon backer, there is a poll that is going live here where we are selecting the next WoF game. I know this isn't related to this show, but we're picking two rhythm games to cover over the summer. So check that out. We're still finalizing the we're still trying to finalize the lineup. So if by some stretch, like, it's not up yet, it's because we weren't able to get some stuff to run. But Evs. Yeah, I'm trying to think. That's all the network stuff right now. Next week, we're probably going to cover some E3 stuff. Maybe not all of it, but we'll be here. If you want to help out the show in a real way, leave us a rating or review in iTunes. That helps us get visibility. We say it every week, but that's because it's important and it really, really matters. Let me think here. What else do we have? And also the Patreon and telling a friend and all that good stuff. I will not belabor the admin stuff. So I've been Cole Ross at Cole Ross on Twitter.
I've been Dennis Furia at D Furia on Twitter.
I've been David Meismith at MoneySmith777 on Twitter.
I've been Ben Merkel at Merkelizer on Twitter.
And stick around for some titles. All right. Anybody have ones that they caught and captured?
Yes. So I have. Oh, go ahead.
I had, I believe it was Cretans with Modesty. Owls Are Just Cats in the Sky, or Owls Are Just Cats of the Sky?
Of the Sky.
I okay. think that maybe we, I need to check and see. That may have been something we talked about off the air.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Similarly, Wipe My Face with an Owl. Living for the Meta Loop. And the FTL Rug Yank.
Okay.
That's good. I had Rocket Balls. Cats of the Sky as well.
Okay.
And then Digi-Jesus.
Digi-Jesus.
And then what?
Digi-Jesus.
Digi-Jesus. Yeah.
Ben, what you got?
I got two of them that haven't been said that are kind of weird and out of place here. I got Shut Up Nerds.
That would make so many people angry.
And then
what do you mean? You don't think you guys are nerds?
And then I have one that says, You Should Feel Bad. Apparently someone said that at some point during the episode.
Okay.
I kind of like that one, actually.
You Should Feel Bad. I like that one too.
I've captured a lot of Cole's anger this week.
I like You Should Feel Bad as well. I also had Creedence with Modesty, and that's what I was going to back until you put in You Should Feel Bad. And then also I have Every Night Is a River.
Is that a reference to something?
No, or? I just like that word. Like it applies to this war of mine in a real way.
Okay.
Yeah, I think I want to back You Should Feel Bad.
You don't like Shut Up Nerds?
There's something about this time of year where I antagonize people, and I just don't want to do that right now.
Fair.
It's not even election season.
Oh, it totally is.
Is it? Yeah. I'm pretending it's not even election season.
Literally,
this whole hacker camp is actually my strategy to not be in a swing state during election season.
Out. Later boners. Yeah. So any objections to You Should Feel Bad? Nope. Okie doke.
I mean, not as a type.